When I was growing up, in the congregations that I attended, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod did not smile. You didn't smile when you come to the communion rail. You didn't smile leaving the communion rail. The only time I saw people smiling is at the door on the way out. Because church was over. Once in a while, I saw kids smile when Holy Communion was over, when you did page 15 from the old Lutheran hymnal, because you knew you were almost done. We're thought of, in a sense, the passionless church. And it didn't make sense that we come together and we call this Passion Week. Holy Week. So where's the passion? Sometimes, you know, Christians are considered a bump on the log. And even Luther wrote about not too much passion. He had a word for those people that were too enthusiastic about their faith. It wasn't a compliment. But there is passion. There is passion in our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember what happens close to this time in his life? I put down a few things, you know, because certainly Passion Week wasn't about candy. Jesus didn't go to an Easter sale and get a new outfit, you know. It wasn't that kind of passion. But he showed passion. He chased out the money changers. He didn't just simply look at him and say, please leave, with a lament, almost as if he was about to cry. No, he put together a cord, several strands of the cord, and he beat them suckers. How dare you make my house a den of thieves, right? He wasn't lukewarm at all. And those Pharisees, do you remember the Pharisees? And he said, whoa. No, not like whoa, like stop, horsey, whoa, you know. But it was whoa, W-O-E, you know, which is like look out, watch out, everyone. And he talked to the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees because his comment was, they preach, but they do not practice. And he didn't say that one in a nonchalant manner either. And what about that fig tree? He came across a fig tree that was barren of figs. And I don't think he sound like Eeyore in the days of Winnie the Pooh. Oh, bother. No figs. No. Instead, he turned and he pronounced it to curse. He cursed it and it withered. And it was to never produce figs again. Do you think that's lukewarm? Jesus had passion. He showed the energy, the power, the authority of God. And it's amazing, and I'm surprised, I don't know why, but I am. I'm surprised when Jesus tells them, I want you to go in the city, a guy with a water jar, you follow him, you ask the man of the house that he goes to, where's the room, and they do it. Can you imagine if someone in your family was given those instructions? What would the question be? Why? What's his name? What will we be wearing? How will I know him? You know, will I like him? Will he like me? You know, on and on we would go, and we would find all kinds of passionate reasons not to go. But the guys believed. And it was just as Christ said. He knew he had the authority. He knew how. He commanded it so, and it lined up. And then in that upper room, he tells the disciples that he was wanting. Not just like, oh, it would be nice to have supper with you. But he had this desire to eat the Passover meal, for it would be the last Passover meal with them on this earth. It would be the last time that he would fellowship in such a way. Now, he does eat with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. We got that. He shows up later, you know, and he shows Thomas the wounds. He does many things, but this is the Passover. This is the day they recount the history of the people of Israel, when God spared them. Jesus wanted to eat this meal in celebration of God sparing his people. And then he instituted the Lord's Supper, a meal, not just any historical dinner, but a meal today, a meal with power from God today, a meal that has his presence. In with and under the bread and wine is the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is described by John the Baptist as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is no ordinary meal, and this meal has passion. It is Jesus giving himself as a sacrifice. Long before this night in history, the prophet was given, which you heard earlier, from Zechariah. This is what God promised, that the Lord would return to Jerusalem with mercy. The Lord would come back with his covenant, with his love, with the sacrifice of the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ himself. The Lord would come and he would proclaim mercy. But isn't it different? Because usually, you know, when we think of granting mercy, it's the one who's won the battle, pulled the sword, you know, and they fought, and maybe many soldiers have fallen, and there's a few left, and the victors, they grant mercy. It's different, isn't it? And Jesus Christ is telling them, I have come to establish mercy. And the way I do that is not with your death, but with my death. It's different, isn't it? The defeated are granted mercy by the victor. The ones who are lost, the ones who are pitiful, the ones who have failed, the ones who have fallen, the ones who have shown themselves to be incomplete in some way, shape, or form, in a battle for the soul, they are given mercy. But the one who fulfilled the law, the one who kept God's word perfectly, the one who had the power to call down angels, the one who stopped the storm, the one who fed the 5,000 plus the women and children, the one who healed the lepers, the lame walked, the blind see, those who could not speak, their tongues were set free, and demons were cast out. The winner is the one who's going to die. It's really a switch, isn't it? All this Lent, we've been talking about calling you to return to the Lord, right? And we have failed. We come to church, but it doesn't take very long from the time we leave God's house until we sin. It just doesn't take very long at all. In fact, sometimes I don't even get out of the building. Yeah. We failed. And so it is this night that we are reminded by the prophet, it isn't us who returns, it is the Lord Jesus Christ who returns. He returns to the defeated, to the lost, to the shame, to the guilty, and he brings his mercy. And that mercy means forgiveness of sins, the gift of everlasting life to the most undeserving of people. He brings his tender, loving care, and he picks us up out of the bonds of death and the chains of sin and the grasp of the devil. He picks us up and he frees us. And he shows his mercy. When you come to the Lord's table tonight, it is his mercy. He has returned to you in the bread and the wine, the body and the blood. He has returned to you to grant his blessing, his favor, his gifts, which is your renewal, which is to strengthen your faith, which is to forgive your sins. In the face of your doubts, your questions, your just all of your stress and your misery, whatever else you are, and all that you bring, he comes to you. And in this gift, he gives you peace. Not as the world gives. Remember, that's a Bible verse. But he gives you peace that only comes from him. For you have been reconciled with the Father through the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. Long before it happened, the prophet knew Jesus would return with mercy. The disciples in the upper room, having the bread, having the wine, were receiving mercy, and they didn't fully fathom all that it meant. He even told them, "You're going to run away tonight." He told Peter, "You're going to deny me before the rooster crows two times. You're going to deny me more than once." And all that happened. And again, after his resurrection, he returned to the upper room, and there he met those disciples that had failed. And Jesus returned, risen from the dead, to give them mercy. Remember how he said it? He came into the room, it was all locked, and he said, "Peace be with you." That's God's mercy. You have that mercy. You have the same peace. You have the same Lord. And it moves us to be passionate. Passionate about expressing our faith, passionate in our service, passionate in our serving, passionate in our Christian love. It moves us to express who we are in Christ. And because we fail often at it, we get his mercy again and again and again. Isn't the Lord wonderful? He has returned to you every day with mercy. Amen.